Returning God's Word this morning to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, last chapter in this epistle. A beautiful and powerful passage of the Word of God. There's such rich instruction that is found in it. We're going to begin reading at verse 8, and the text this morning will be verse 19. So beginning at verse 8, we'll read through the end of the chapter. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smelling, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. As I said, the text this morning is verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that the promise of this passage would dwell in our hearts this morning and in this new year. May it be a promise that we hold on to by faith, trusting what it is that Thou dost say in it. And especially in the circumstances of life that we face, may we know that Thou art the God who supplies our every need. So strengthen us in our faith by this word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we end one year and begin another, there's a time for us to reflect. It's a time for us to stop a moment. It's very easy with all of the things going on in our lives, whether it's the work and callings that we have or the busyness of a holiday season and getting together with family and friends. It's very easy for that to just slide by. And that's why it's so good for us to take some time and worship to meditate on the truth of God's Word. There are many things that we're reminded of when we enter a new year. One of the things that we're reminded of is that we are but pilgrims and strangers here on this earth. That somewhat follows from the sermon of Jacob last night, where he talked about the years of our life being very short, and also that it's going to end in death, but there is hope in Jesus Christ and the gospel. But what that reminds us of is that we are pilgrims and strangers here on this earth. But as pilgrims and strangers, there is a sure hope for the future. There's an expectant hope that we have of especially two things. The first is that whenever we die, if that's in this year or that's years down the road, whenever we die, our souls will be brought to heaven to dwell with God because of the victory of Jesus Christ. That's one expectant hope that we have. The other is connected to it, and that is one day Jesus Christ will return, and then our bodies will be raised, and they will be changed, and we will be brought to dwell with God in the new heavens and the new earth. So we know the end of all things. Part of our meditation upon our lives and the frailty of life means we want to remember the big picture of these things and the hope that is ours. But along the way, until we reach that expected end, along the way there are many hardships and difficulties in this pilgrimage. And God comes alongside of us then in our pilgrimage and gives to us promises, promises that we can hold on to. There are in the Scriptures outstanding promises that God gives to us that we hold on to. This is one of them. One of the outstanding promises of God in the whole of Scripture, which speaks to us in the circumstances of life that we face or that we will face. It's a promise that God will supply all our need. That's what Paul says. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is a word that some of us need because we carry from 2018 into 2019 the hardships and difficulties that God has already placed upon us. Some of us need it, not because we have those hardships and difficulties that are weighing so heavily upon us right now, but we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what diagnoses there will be by the doctor. We don't know what things will change in our lives. But this we do know, God will supply all our needs. So let us hear this morning what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church in Philippi. May we hear what God now is saying through the Apostle Paul to us. My God shall supply all your need. We do that under the theme, God's promised supply in 2019. We notice three things. First, the source. Secondly, the supply. And then finally, the sufficiency. The source of this supply is God Himself. That's what the Apostle Paul says in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need. We want to begin this morning with God. We see that God is the source of everything that we need. But before seeing that very clearly, let's see and understand our need, but seeing it from the right perspective. So the question isn't for you and I this morning, what do you think you need? But instead, we see and understand this morning, God's going to tell you what you need. Sometimes we might not like that. If someone else would come along and say, this is what you need, and we might, in a time of rebellion or a time of pride, say, you don't know what I need, I know what I need. But we would never say that to God. God comes to us this morning, even as the source of that which we need, and He tells us what we need, because He knows better than we do what it is that we need. Now, what's striking here is we look at that in the text. The word need here is in the singular. It's not in the plural. It's not needs. Now, certainly it stands for everything that we need, physical and spiritual, but that it's in the singular is significant. That tells us that in the end, there is one great need that we have. What is that? Well, the one great need that we have is the favor and fellowship of God. Now, you might say those are two things, but they're so closely connected. We have fellowship with God because of His favor, because of His grace. And that's what we need to know, the favor and the fellowship of God. Paul is saying here, that was his great need. He's speaking from experience here when he says, my God shall supply your need. It's as if Paul is saying, this is what I've come to know. This is what I've experienced. God has supplied my need. That means we ought to remember Paul's circumstances for a minute. Where was Paul when he was writing the epistle to the church in Philippi? Well, he was sitting in prison in Rome. And while he was in prison, Paul came to see and know that the Lord supplied all of his need. Now that's even the context here. The context is important. The context is this. In the verses that go before, Paul is thanking the church in Philippi for a love gift that they had sent to him. And so he's very thankful for that. Not thankful because they were thinking about him, but thankful because this showed where their hearts were at. It showed their love for another fellow saint in the church. And there's no other church that did this like they did. And the church in Philippi wasn't rich. They were very poor. And yet they were thinking of Paul in his time of need. But Paul is saying here, that gift wasn't what I needed. But God Himself, He was the one who supplied everything that I need while in prison. He had everything that he needed in Jesus Christ. And that's why he says earlier in the passage that he had learned to be content. So also we can know as well in the circumstances of our life that God, my God, will supply all that we need. We have needs in the circumstances of our lives, don't we? And there are different circumstances of life. There are the ordinary circumstances of life. Now sometimes they might not seem so ordinary, but nonetheless, in contrast to special moments, special difficulties that God sends, they're the everyday struggles yet. I think of the many young families that we have here in the church and busy families as well, and how it is that moms are busy in their work and callings, and the dads are too in their work and callings at work, and then they come home and they have responsibilities there. For the busyness that is found for those who have added responsibilities in the church of serving in different ways within the church. And there are many things that weigh upon us even in everyday life. In the midst of that, we have needs, certainly. And then there are the special circumstances that come when one is diagnosed with cancer, for example, or there are others who have illnesses that are debilitating and life-changing, and they go on and on day after day. There are those who are hurt by others. There are those who are separated from family. There's those who are hurting because a loved one has died, and there's that great and deep void in their lives, and we have needs in all of those things. What do we need? And sometimes we think, I need the circumstances changed. I need it to be different. But God comes to us and says, no, that's not what you need. What you need is my fellowship and my favor. So we see that here in this text, that is our great need. We need to know that God is my God. That's what Paul says here. My God shall supply all your need. We need to know that He loves us, that He shows favor to us. We need to see and to understand that this is our great need in all of life, in all the circumstances that we face. We need to know that I am the friend of God and that there's absolutely nothing that can separate me from His love. Now, there's other things connected to that. So to know that fellowship with God, we need to know that we're forgiven. We need to know that we are righteous before God. Our great need then is Jesus Christ, because only through Him is there forgiveness and righteousness and fellowship with God. After a sin-filled 2018, that's what we need to know, isn't it? That all of our sins are forgiven. We need to know in 2019 that God is our defense and that He will care for us, that He's going to work all things for our good, that He's conforming us to the image of His Son, that He's trying us and testing us in difficult circumstances, but He's doing that so that we grow in faith and in godliness, we need to know that that is the purpose of God in His favor and in His walk with us as His people. That's our need. What's our need? Favor and fellowship with God. Now, understanding that, Paul says, "My God shall supply all your need." That's our need. And God, my God, will supply that. That's the emphasis here in the text. But my God. Paul has the utmost confidence that God will supply his and their need and our need really today yet because of the character of God. It's rooted in who He is. Notice the text when it says, "my God," Paul says, "this God is my God." We've looked at that language. I believe I remember looking at that in the past year. I didn't look back to check for sure, but I remember looking at that in the words of the Song of Solomon, in passages we've looked at in that book of the Bible, where it's not cold possession, "He's mine," like we would say about our car or our clothes. But instead, it's mine in fellowship or relationship, like we would say, "This is my wife," or "This is my husband," or "These are my children," or "These are my parents." This is my God. I know fellowship with Him. I love Him. And He is my God because I am His. He's made me His own. He's adopted me to be one of His children in Jesus Christ. And so we can say this morning, this God is my God. And as my God, He's the source of everything that I need. It's because He's chosen me as His own. He's redeemed me with the blood of Jesus Christ. He's implanted His Spirit in my heart. And so He, because of who He is, will give me all that I need. My God is the God from whom all blessings flow. My God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. My God is the God who saves me and justifies me. And out of Him are an inexhaustible supply of riches and spiritual wealth. Remember then what we learn about Him in Matthew 6, for example. This is how we have confidence that He will supply everything that we need, even the things of this earth that we need. Because He knows better than we do what it is that we need. That's what Matthew 6 tells us. Matthew 6 tells us as well that He will care for our physical needs because we're much greater than the birds and the lilies. And He cares for them. We're much greater than they are because we're the objects of His love. We read in Matthew 6 that He's able to provide. He's God. He's the power to do that. My God is able. He's the God who is self-sufficient. He is the God who has no needs Himself. He's full and complete in Himself, and therefore He's able to supply as the God who owns all things. This is the confidence that we have as we enter 2019. My God, He shall supply all that we need. So we see the source. Secondly, we look at the supply. Not what He supplies, we've looked at that already, the need, but we want to look at the activity of God in supplying the things that we need. And notice two things here in this supplying of all our needs. We notice, first of all, the activity of God, and secondly, we notice the certainty of this. But first, the activity. Look at the meaning of the word supply. Supply means to fill. It means to supply liberally and abundantly. We'll come to the concept of liberally and abundantly in the last point. But take notice of it here. His activity is supplying liberally and abundantly. And then all our need. Notice the all there. Not part of it, not some of it, not most of it. But He's going to supply, He will supply everything, all of our need. The activity of my God is that He will abundantly supply all that we need. What does He supply? Fellowship and favor. and all the blessings of salvation that give us that fellowship and favor in our Lord Jesus Christ. How does God supply that? How will He supply that in 2019 to us? Well, then we see and understand the importance of how it is that God works and the way in which He supplies. He does that by the work of His Spirit within us. He's given us His Spirit. Spirit who dwells in us, the Spirit of adoption who assures us of our adoption, the sanctifying Spirit that's changing us, the Spirit who gives us the knowledge of God and takes away the blindness of our sin. And then we understand and know how the Spirit works. The Spirit works by the Word. And so God will supply all of our need through the preaching of the Gospel in this coming year. And He will supply our need in the way of reading the Word of God. Here's an encouragement for us at the beginning of a new year to keep on in the reading of the Word. Or, if we've not been very diligent in that, here's a good resolution. I'm going to be reading and studying the Word of God like I haven't been doing in 2018, like I should be doing. Because it's through this means that God works, the reading of the Word, the studying of His Word, and the hearing of His Word. And prayer as well. God works through prayer to strengthen us in this fellowship and in this favor. But also, God blesses us through fellowship that we have with the church and other believers. Within the church, we've been given such a great gift. God is working here. God shall supply. So we see the activity of God here, what He's doing in our lives and in our hearts. And the second thing we notice is the certainty of this. Again, notice the language of the text. He shall supply. Now, He might, not maybe, probably. No, He shall supply everything that we need. This is certain in 2019. Now, how do we know the certainty of this? God has a track record, you might say. And it's not just the track record of looking back at our own lives, 2018, 2017, and so on. It's the track record of the Holy Scriptures from beginning to end. Look how God has supplied what His people have needed always. The people of Israel in the wilderness, when He gave them manna and water out of the rock, and He supplied everything that they needed, not only physically, but that was a picture of the supply spiritually, wasn't it? Manna pointing ahead to Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, and the living water that comes from Jesus Christ, pointed out by that water that came out of the rock. God took care of His people. He took care of His people in Jesus Christ. He promised through the whole Old Testament, I will send the Messiah, the Christ, to save you from your sins. And God has sent Him. He supplied all our needs in that. And then Paul here in prison, Paul's own testimony is, the Lord supplied all that I have needed. And I've learned then to be content. But that doesn't take away from the fact that this is our own experience as well. It's good to look back for a moment. 2018. What do we see when we look back? Well, it's easy just to see the circumstances. And the world says, oh, there are many things. I just want to forget those things. But what we do see is that God has supplied all of our need, hasn't He? Everything we've needed. At certain particular moments, but each and every day, in the ordinary things of life and the out of ordinary things, our God in His favor, His faithfulness has supplied all that we've needed. God's supply here is active and certain by Christ Jesus. That's what the text is telling us. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Here's an important thing for us to see and know this morning. This supply is by Christ Jesus. That means for us, it's not been earned or merited by us. Paul is not saying to the church in Philippi, hey, church in Philippi, because you've been so liberal and faithful in giving me this love gift, now you can be assured, because of what you've done, that God's going to supply all your need. That's not the connection between the text and what has gone before. So that the Word of God doesn't come to us this morning and say, well, if you've been liberal in giving to the church and giving to the causes of the kingdom, then you can know that God's going to supply all of your need. No, it's not dependent upon that. We ought, don't get me wrong, we ought to be liberal in our support of the kingdom causes. And shame on us if we're not. But we see and understand that God's supply of all that we need is not dependent upon us. God's supply of these riches has been earned. It has been earned by Jesus Christ. For He's taken upon Himself the punishment of our sin, and by doing that, He has earned for us the riches and blessings of salvation. We have fellowship with God because we have a Redeemer who has taken our place and bore the punishment of our sin. And we have the riches of salvation, all the blessings of salvation, including the Holy Spirit and His work within us. We have that because our Savior, who was rich in heavenly glory, became poor for our sakes, taking upon Himself our poverty, that through Him we might be rich. And that's the idea of this supply here. We're rich. Rich in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so we see that, understand that this morning. This is our confidence as we face 2019. This is how we must face this new year with all of the difficulties and the uncertainties of it. My God shall supply all your need. This is certain. This, beloved, is a promise that we must hold to when we are downcast, when we are tempted to be depressed and even bitter because of the circumstances that we're facing in our lives. The problem for us is that we at times look at life without seeing the promises of God. We have spiritual amnesia. We forget them. Sinfully, we forget them. It's like Peter looking at the waves on the storm-tossed sea. We just look at the waves and we take our eyes off of Him and we fail to hear the promises that He gives us. And what's the promise that God gives us now? He will provide. He will provide everything that we need. God will supply your need. We're to believe this promise. We're to hold on to this promise. And so it's the question for us in this new year. Will we forget it? When we gather for worship on December 31, 2019, will we have forgotten the promise of God? And no doubt there will be times where we have forgotten that promise of God. This is what happens when we forget it. Then we despair. Then we start blaming others for our circumstances. Then we even get angry. Dwell in bitterness, and it's reflected towards others. And really what we're struggling with is the sovereign rule of God in our own lives and knowing His tender mercy toward us in Jesus Christ. We're forgetting what He said to us, and we're forgetting what our great need is, and that He meets it. He supplies it. And so will we forget that in this new year? The Word of God comes to us and says, believe this. Hold on to this. Remember this. Every day, in everything that you face, God will supply all your need. And the last thing we see about that is the sufficiency, then, of this promise that God gives to us. You see, the text is explaining and emphasizing the fullness and completeness of God's supply. This is always true of God's supply. It's not a half supply. It's not just a part supply. It's everything that we need, and not just everything, but it's an abundant supply of that which we need. It's not just enough to get by. So Paul's even saying in prison that he's happy and full of joy because of the abundant supply of God for him while he is there. You can hear Paul saying, my or hear Paul confessing what God told him. My grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul knew it. In His grace and the grace of God, he had everything that he needed. An abundant supply for him. And so we see the abundant supply of God for us too. It has nothing to do with how much of the things of this earth you and I have. If the economy would crash this year and next year we're just struggling to get by and the vacations are done and we're not buying any new cars and we're just having enough to get by, if that were the case in this year, we could say the same thing. God has abundantly supplied all that I have needed because He's given all that I've needed in Jesus Christ. And that again is God's track record. God with His people of Israel in the wilderness, Paul in prison, and the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's see how that's emphasized here in the text, in the language of it, where it says that God shall supply all your need according to His riches. According to His glorious riches is the idea. And here's a way that we can understand the relationship between God's supply and then according to all His riches. Think of if the owner of Amazon were here worshiping with us this morning, Jeff Bezos. He's worth an estimated $151 billion, Google told me. He's known as the richest man by far in the world today. So imagine he were worshiping with us here this morning, and when the collection plate went by, he put $10 in the collection plate. You would say that he did not give according to his riches. For someone who's very poor, $10 is a lot, but for someone who has $151 billion, that's nothing. But if instead he put in the collection plate a blank check and said, hey, whatever need you have, whatever great need you have, just fill in the amount and it's yours. Or he put into the collection plate a check for $10 million. You would say, yeah, then he gave according to the riches that are his. Now, that's what God does. He's not stingy. He doesn't just give to us a little bit. But instead, He provides for us abundantly according to His riches. Think for a moment about His riches. He owns everything, but not only that, He doesn't look at things in the same way we do. It's not about $151 billion. That's nothing before Him. What's precious to Him is His Son, and that's what He gave. He gave His Son, and that at great expense. And the result of that great expense is all of the riches of salvation, and He holds nothing back from us. So we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that suffering in this life abounds, but so also does comfort and consolation in Christ. And the idea here isn't that in the circumstances of life He's giving just enough so that they balance out. But the reality is that the riches we have in Christ are so much more than the sufferings that we endure in this life, so that now they're but light and for a moment. Our God supplying all our needs according to His riches. That's my God. That's your God and His supply. And so let us know in 2019 that our needs will be supplied. This is what He's doing. He's transforming us into the likeness and the image of His Son. He's directing all things so that as they happen in our lives, He's working good out of them. He's providing us with the inexhaustible riches that are found in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul knew in his circumstances. That's what we know in our circumstances. One commentator said that these words of the text, "My God, but my God shall supply all your need," are like bullets being shot at us. But shot not to destroy us, but to build us up. But they're being shot to destroy something else. All thinking in our minds where we would say, God's not giving us what we need. And so I would say to us, this is a short verse. If you've got a catalog of verses that you memorize and hold on to and read frequently, and this one's not there, let's add it to it. Let's memorize this verse. Make it our own. Make it somewhat of a theme verse for the year. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is a promise of God to hold on to in our earthly pilgrimage. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this word, for this promise. May we live our lives in the light of it, never doubting Thy goodness, never doubting Thy faithful and good supply to us, but seeing that Thou art a God who gives us not only all that we need, but it provides abundantly in Jesus Christ our Lord. And for that, Father, we give thanks because we're so undeserving of such great riches. We ask that Thou will bless us now in this day. May we meditate upon these things. And even as we have time with family and friends, we pray, O Lord, that we would celebrate together Thy great goodness and faithfulness to us, and give us strength as we return to our work and callings in this week as well, and bring us back here on the Lord's Day to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.